Great. Just going to give out a few notes, booklets. If you take one, pass them around. It should be enough for everyone. So just a little bit of context. Many of you will know and will have been there. On November the 29th, we had a morning together where we began to think about training of leadership. And we used a lot of that morning to just to recap where we came from, where we were at, what we felt God was saying to us, how different things were influencing us from 3DM Europe and from Bethel Church, Reading. We introduced a little bit about iPods and criteria for leadership. All of the notes from that morning are on the website. If you weren't at that morning and you want to look at the notes, download them from the website. They're underneath the page which has this event on. So if you go to the event for tonight, you'll find the downloadable PDFs. As many of you know, what we wanted to do is set ourselves on this journey. There's that bigger context of the journey, which is to do with how we feel God is leading us. But this evening is part of four evenings that we've set. The dates have gone out. And my hope is that if you can make all four, that would be really good. And there's going to be a sense of hopefully progression and building and developing on each evening. But the overall purpose of these evenings is what it says on the front of the little booklet, is that we really want to recognise, develop, equip, strengthen and deploy missional leaders across HBC and Chester so that the kingdom of God is established and advancing across our city and further afield, to be honest. But this is our Jerusalem, to use Acts 1:8. Some of us will go to the ends of the earth, I know that, from knowing some of you in this room. So that's where we're starting, okay? So that's what we're trying to do over these 4 weeks and to go through that process. My statement of intent, our statement of intent, just to begin with, is this. That if HBC is going to begin to look like the dream that I've had about 2017, and I'm trusting that most of you in this room have read that statement, you've heard about it, you've been talking about it for 18 months, what we hope HBC would look like in 2017, i.e. that we are fully operating as a church with a deep discipleship culture, a strong centre, and effective missional living communities, projects, expressions, all functioning at the edge, then what we need are leaders in that mix whose lives and ministries look like the life and ministry of Jesus. That's what we're aiming for. That's what we're hoping we can encourage and inspire ourselves to, that goal. So the theme for this evening is this little phrase that I came up with a few weeks ago, which is believers who are disciples and disciples who are believers. So I just want us to really build some foundations this evening in terms of what we're going to be building over the next four evenings. And part of that foundation that I want us to keep building is this cornerstone of what it means to be a missional leader. So if you want to be a missional leader, the cornerstone of that is that you are a radically committed disciple of Jesus Christ. Nothing more, nothing less. That's at the heart of what we're trying to build. And so when we look to aspire to leadership, and some of us in this room have roles of leadership, some of us are developing roles of leadership, and some of us maybe God's going to lead us into other areas. You've got to build it on that cornerstone of being a disciple. That means we're committed to developing both the character and skills of Jesus in our lives. And we have a commitment and a desire to be involved in discipling others, whatever that looks like in our context. So that's what we're going to explore this evening. So,
diverse and wide audience in the room tonight. So there's some people who are really new to HPC, and haven't got a clue of half of what Andrew's just said and what it means. So we appreciate that. And then there's others that have been on the journey all the way over here. And we keep going back to this, that we're into evolution, not revolution. And the caterpillar picture is really important to us. And that's courtesy of Sue, who shared it with us some time ago now, but was reinforced when some of the leaders went on some training in Sheffield. In that a caterpillar has to move all together. And the front has to catch up with the back, and so on and so on. Then that's what we're trying to do. So if there are things tonight that you think, oh my goodness, what on earth is 2017 vision? Which I know some of you are asking, because I can see frowns on your faces. How do they find out, Andy?
It's all on the website.
Just on go to the website.
Download it.
And if you don't know your way around the website, talk to that man over there, Tim.
So in the visions and values, it's on that section on the website.
Okay. So it'll try and give you some context. And then we did this morning of training, which probably about maybe, well, put your hand up if you were here in November. Roughly half. And half of you weren't. The good thing is, some of what we did on that morning, we're going to expand on and develop, and some of it, we aren't. But again, it's on the
website.
So, bedtime reading. I do have, the first two people who come to me afterwards, two print-offs from that morning. You can have them as a treat. Because you always have to have a giveaway, of course. That's what I was always taught. As the teachers won't come to it, I was told, so that's what I have to do. We were aware that one of the weaknesses of that training morning was that we didn't give you time to process. So we tried to build in tonight lots of processing time, on your own and with others. So we're going to deliberately have time sessions where we go away, think, come back, talk and so on. So, in a minute my husband, my lovely husband here, is going to do some teaching. But, and I'm giving you a heads up, whilst he's teaching, we want you to begin to be aware of what the Holy Spirit might be saying to you. And if you look halfway down the inside of the first page, you'll see a heading that says, observe, reflect, and discuss. And when he's finished the teaching, and the notes are above that bit, we're going to ask you to think about, what was the Holy Spirit saying to you? What was striking you as Andy was speaking? And this is Andy's second question. Do I get him?
Is that a free giveaway?
No! Nice one, Sue. Very good. No, that was Andy's question. But the free giveaway, you can have me if you
like.
He
says, do I get him all soon?
That's right. And then the second question is, third question, what do I feel God is asking me to work on? So what is it the Holy Spirit's going to be saying to you as Andy's teaching? Personal. Is the one thing I need to do to make this happen? And after he's finished speaking, we're going to just have you sitting quietly on your own for a timed amount of time, which will approximately be about 7 or 8 minutes, which I know for some people is just no good, but that's what we've got. And then we're going to get you to find somebody to talk to. If you don't want to talk to them, that's fine. You can carry on processing on your own. But some people are verbal processors with other people, and they need to be able to do that. Then I'm going to try and draw it all together. So
don't all shout at me at once.
And then we're going to do a second part of teaching. And then we're going to do something similar to process. Okay, does that make sense? Is everybody clear what we're doing? Right, close your eyes and I'm going to pray. Father, I thank you that the only reason that we all exist on this planet is to honour, to serve and to worship you in whatever we do, whatever we say, whatever we are and whatever we think. And so I invite you, Holy Spirit, tonight just to minister to our minds, to our spirits, to our thought processes, to our emotions and say you are welcome in this place. You are welcome in this place. You're welcome in our hearts and in our spirits and in our minds. And I just want to pray that tonight every single person in this room would leave with something that you have said to them, whether it's a feeling, a thought, a picture, a scripture, whatever it might be, they would go home tonight with something that you have deposited in them that could be used for your glory, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, so if you have a Bible, can you turn to Exodus 18? That'd be really good. So the teaching tonight is going to come out of Exodus 18. The story, if you haven't, you don't know the story, basically Moses is leading the people of Israel. They've just managed to get out of Israel. They've had the whole thing about crossing over the Red Sea, getting into the wilderness. And as they are in this first place where they've stopped, one of the first places they've stopped, Moses' father-in-law visits him. And I was away yesterday on a day of retreat, and I was really wanting to get some space. My head had been really full, loads of things going on, and I wasn't quite sure where to pitch tonight. But while I was away, I just really felt God spoke to me from this passage. So that's really what I want to share out of, and give you a few things to think about. And the premise behind this passage is what sort of disciples are we looking for to be missional leaders across HBC? So what sort of people are we looking for to be leaders? So the first thing that is in this passage, as you read it through, is Jethro, when he arrives, the first thing that he does is that he celebrates with Moses all that God has done. So verse 9 says, Jethro was delighted to hear all about the good things the Lord had done for Israel in rescuing them from the hand of the Egyptians. He said, "Praise be to the Lord who rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians and of Pharaoh, and who has rescued the people from the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than any other gods, for he did this to those who treated Israel arrogantly." So the first criteria, if that's the right word, that we're looking for, if people are looking to come into leadership, or aspiring to leadership and expressing leadership, is that we're looking for people who really celebrate the goodness of God. So when you look at this story, look at this passage, you see that Moses has led the people through this period of time. And when Jethro hears it, he's delighted to hear all about the good things that God has done. And for us, that means there's a few steps that we want to encourage us to have as disciples. We want leaders who will reinforce this truth again and again, that God is good. That's like one of the foundational truths that you'll hear hopefully again and again, and you will perpetuate that through your leadership, is that God is good. And that we live our lives and we express our lives through the lenses of the goodness of God. So when we face life's issues, and we will face life's issues, when bad stuff happens to good people, when things don't work out the way that we'd hoped they would, or we'll still seek to look through the lens of the goodness of God. Does that make sense? So that's what we want to encourage ourselves in as a group of people. We want people who are up for telling stories about how the demonstration of the goodness of God is happening in their lives. We want to keep hearing the stories, the testimonies, and they haven't got to be they're not all about the massive breakthroughs. Yes, we're looking for that, but we're just looking for some of the smaller breakthroughs. We are looking to celebrate when somebody has the thought to step out, even before they step out. We want to celebrate that. We want to celebrate the good things that God is doing in our midst. And I suppose that for me is summed up with an attitude that's focused more on what God is doing and not on what he's not doing. just as an approach to stuff. Just to keep encouraging ourselves to see that lens. And as Psalm 37 verse 8 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. So that was the first thing that really struck me as I read this passage and started to think about it. The second thing that struck me as I was reading and praying about this yesterday was that Jethro really understood Moses. He understood what he was doing and why he was doing it. And in my phrase, in other words, he sort of got him. He understood it. You know, when you read in verses 13 to 18, what happens is Moses takes his seat. He starts to serve as the judge of the people. And he's doing this all day, morning to evening. And when Jethro watches this, he says, well, why are you doing that? When actually lots of people are standing around doing nothing. And you're spending all day doing this. And Jethro says, well, that's not good. Verse 17. You're going to wear yourself out. The work's too heavy for you. You can't handle it on your own. Listen to me now and I'll give you some advice. And may God be with you. So Jethro understands what Moses is trying to do. He sees what he's doing is good, but maybe he's got it a little bit wrong in the way he's doing it. And he gives him some advice, which we'll look at in a minute. I suppose when I was reflecting on this, in terms of leadership and developing leaders within HBC, I suppose we need people who get Sue and I, who get what the leadership is trying to do. Even in this phase of transition and change, and we're not quite sure exactly what it's going to look like. I'm hoping you get the heart of what we're trying to do as a leadership team over these last 18 months. And again, I've just written down a few headliners here about that are really important for people to get. An obvious openness to an expression of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I read something this morning by Bill Johnson, which really did my head in, to be honest. He said, if we're going to see some of the fruit that the early church saw, we need to value the Holy Spirit that they had more than the book that we read that they didn't have. Can I say it again? If we're going to see some of the fruitfulness of what the New Testament church did, we need to make sure that we are valuing as much the Holy Spirit, which they had, than the book, the holy book, that they didn't have. In other words, we need to have a good approach to how we handle the Word and the Spirit. That's not to say that the Bible's not important, because the Bible's fundamentally important. But as somebody else says, it's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, not God the Holy Scriptures. And it's our approach to that. It's like, where does the Holy Spirit fit? And we need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's the author of the Scriptures. So when we read the Scriptures, we just need the Holy Spirit to be at work. And we need to be honouring Him and just unashamedly building relationships with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We need to be people who have a desire to keep learning. I think we're always going to be learning. You know, for me, these last 18 months, I've been leading this church 21 years. It's 30 years in October since I first went to Bible college. I would say that a lot of the last 18 months, I've had to relearn loads of things that I thought I knew, but perhaps I'd seen it in a particular lens, in a particular way. I want us just to be open to new ways, new things, new learning. And it's, you know, there's fundamentals that are given, so I'm not saying we need to relearn about whether Jesus was born of a Virgin Mary, because that's a given. But I'm saying we just need to be open to the new things that God wants to do and be teachable in that. We need to keep the passion for Jesus right at the heart of what we are. You know, for a long time, that strapline has been around HBC. Passion for Jesus, compassion for people. I want us to be a group of people who are really pursuing healing, wholeness, and freedom in our own lives, but are now stepping out then to help other people find that as well. And like, we'll be the first. I want to encourage you just to be so hungry for those opportunities when you can encounter God. The best thing for Sue and I when we go to somewhere like Bethel is that every time there's prayer ministry, we are up there being prayed for, because nobody knows us, we've got no responsibilities, we're not leading that service. So if somebody says there's prayer, we're there. And I just encourage you to have that hunger to step into the moment, to, like I said on Sunday, to position yourself for that moment when God could bless you. To be ready for that. And then the final thing is that everybody gets to play. That's using John Wimber's little phrase. Everybody gets to play. It's not about me, Sue, the leadership team, any particular one person. It's like all of us have got a place and a part to play in this. Therefore, let's honour and empower everyone. And I mean everyone. Let's empower men. Let's empower women. Let's empower the children. Let's everybody has got a part to play, and we need to honour that and empower people to become the people that God has called to be. So,
strikes me the Holy Spirit's a person, and it's really challenging.
So back to Exodus 18, and just a couple of other things that I want to draw out from the story. So if we're down at verse 17. So Jethro is observing Moses and what he's trying to do and how he's doing it. And he says to him in verse 17, "What you are doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. Listen now to me and I will give you some advice, and maybe God be with you. You must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to him. Teach them his decrees and instructions and show them the way that they should live and how they are to behave. But select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties and tens. Have them serve as judges for the people at all times, but have them bring every difficult case to you. The simple cases they can decide themselves." So Jethro offers some advice to Moses, and basically he gives him some criteria to help Moses appoint the right people to be leaders with him. And I know, and I've been around enough to know this, but it's really important at this stage of where we are as a church that this won't happen just by us as leaders, Sue and I, or the leadership team. It's going to take more of us catching it, getting hold of it, and running with it. But to do that, we need criteria. We need an idea of who are the right people. So what we're looking for are people who are growing and developing in these five areas. We want people who are really committed to grow and develop in the area of their character. In terms of leadership, really, it's all about character for me. It's about having people whose characters are servant-hearted, who are loyal, who are submitted to Jesus. That's a key aspect, and it's right at the heart of what we're trying to do in terms of building disciples. As we want people to have the character and the characteristics that we see in Jesus. The Galatians 5, fruit of the Spirit. Secondly, we're looking for people with a sense of chemistry and call. People who really feel connected and committed to the family of Hall Baptist Church. That we're going to serve in leadership roles then, and there's that sense that actually this is about friends and family first. And trying to develop that ethos amongst us. And so that's what we're looking for. Acts 2:42 is just that phrase, isn't it, where the first Christians got together. They were devoted to one another, to the apostles' teacher, to prayer. That sense of being in this together. Thirdly, the sort of competence and skills area. I think we can all grow in skills and competence. We just need to have the willingness to learn and to find out how to grow in those skills. What do we need to do the job that we're doing, the role that we're doing? I think a fourth thing that we need to reflect on is our capacity and sort of commitment to the vision and values of HBC. If we're going to express leadership, then we need to understand why we're doing what we're doing, what we're doing it for. A willingness to grow personally, but recognising that our capacity in that. I find it really interesting that Jethro recognises for Moses that there are going to be some leaders who lead tens, some who lead 50s, some who lead hundreds, and some who lead thousands. And some of that's to do with gift, capacity, time. And we need to recognise that in how we express our leadership. Some people will have different roles. It's not that they're better. It's just actually that's the arena that God has given them gifts, skills, capacity, time to do that. And then the last one is recognising our sort of charisma. And what I mean by that is that we've all of us in this room have got influence. The question is, how will you use it? How will you influence those around you for good or for bad? Both within the life of the church, but also out in the world. And just recognising that together. So I think those five areas are really key to help us build a framework for how we call leaders, how we recognise leaders, how we appoint leaders as a church. The final thing that struck me when I was reading through this passage, which I've just touched upon, but it comes up again in this final bit, is this sense that Jethro recognised that leaders would serve in different areas and with different capacities. So I've mentioned it, verses 21 through to 23, where he says some will serve the 50s, the thousands, the hundreds, the 50s and the tens. And I think we need to recognise then that we all have different areas that we are called to be involved in. And we need to live with an ethos of and both, not either or, in the way that we approach this thing as church. And what I mean by that is particularly this phrase that we introduced in November, which is serving at the centre and living at the edge. That it's about an and both approach to church. It's not an either or. It's not like, you know, it's all about being at the centre and we'll pull everybody into the centre and we'll suck everybody into the heart of the church and the ministries of the church. It's like, that's key, but actually it's going to be both. It's going to be and. It's going to be this. It's going to be, actually, we want to release people out onto the edge, people serving in their own lives, recognising your own front lines. That's about missional living, it's about missional communities, about missional expressions, about missional projects. And we need to help people see where God is calling you. Everybody needs to be a missional leader, but some will be more called to the centre. Some perhaps will be more called to the edge, and some of us will serve and carry something of both, because that's part of what it is. It's and both, not either or. Is that making sense? So I just felt that was quite interesting, the way that Jethro saw that a little bit, that there's these 50s, 100s, you know, so some people, depending on capacity, might actually do a lot. It could be at the edge and in the centre. But actually, some people's capacity is less, and therefore they've got to be really focused on what God is saying to them. Therefore, their focus might be right on the edge. And we need to recognise that and empower that and not. So we just need to be aware of it, I think. But for us as a church, it's and both that we're trying to build. We want a church that's got a very strong centre, and all that means in terms of these five areas that we've talked about before, But we also really want to focus on the edge and express the out in lots of different ways. Sue.
It just strikes me from what Andy's saying that